Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Colin Burns joins us, and we are so happy to have him on. We got to meet at the PGA Merchandise Show last month, and I mean, we could have talked for hours just about anything and everything, but we're here to talk about the Apogee Club, and I want to get people a good sense of, first of all, how you became involved in this project, because as you told me at the PGA show, the backstory to that unto itself is pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, Brian, thanks for having me on today. Really excited. It was great to meet you at the PGA show. And at the PGA show, we had such a great reception. We were expecting about 30 people. We ended up with about 80. And it was just we had such a great and interesting, you know, we had the Untuckit shirt guy there, Chris, whose last name I'm going to draw a blank on. We had Poet Laureate Billy Collins, who was a Poet Laureate for President Bush 43, who's a dear friend. So, and a whole bunch of other wonderful people, Allison Johnson, and just, it was great. And after 31 years of being the general manager of Wingfoot Golf Club, and I started there, people always ask the question, well, what was your first job there? Thinking that I started out maybe as a busboy or a dining room manager. You know, I arrived as the GM and left as the GM 31 years later, 2 U.S. Opens, PGA Championship, 4 Bowl Championship, U.S. Amateur, and a whole bunch of stuff in between. And it was a great journey and a wonderful experience. And so I decided that it was just time to do something before the clock ran out on me. And so we came to terms with the board, sent a letter of resignation out to the membership, advising them. And I received 2 phone calls. And it's funny, I was just, I'm in my house now, and I was in my little makeshift garage gym, and the phone rings. Well, the first call was from Jim Nance, who's a very dear friend. And as nice as everyone thinks he is, he's even nicer than that. I mean, he is just a prince, a gem of a person. And I love him dearly. And he said, Colin, when's the party? I want to host it, which he did. And it was just fabulous. And I'll have to share a video of that with you someday. It was really well done. And the second phone call was from a gentleman named Michael Pascucci, who's the owner of Sabonic. Mr. Pascucci is a very blue ribbon, exceptionally talented businessman who was originally in the car leasing business. He loves to tell people that he's a used car salesman. Well, that's not quite right. I mean, it was a car leasing company that was working with 4,100 banks. And when he sold it several years ago, it was a lot of money that he sold it for. Even by today's standards, it was a lot of money, you know, 20 years ago. And so he said, Kyle, he's got this very distinct sort of Long Island voice. And what are you going to do next? I said, well, Mr. P, I'm guessing from the phone call that you have something in mind. And I said, you know, I'm not quite there yet because, you know, the announcement just went out and this was April. He said, well, let's talk about it. So, you know, he went out and visited. And next thing you know, he's telling me about the project that he and Steve Ross, who's the owner of the Miami Dolphins, is chairman of a related corporation. And he told me about their partnership, the fabulous piece of property that they bought. And by the way, Ryan, it is really fabulous. I mean, I'm not a Florida person. I'll just jump off to the side for a minute. I'm really, you know, I'm a Northeastern guy. I love to snow ski. I love to actually clean my driveway when it does snow. And it's really growing on me in a very genuine sort of organic way, not forced. And so they bought this, the two of them partnered on this 1,220 acres in Hope Sound. So it's basically, if you Route 95, you go west into what is basically farm country. I mean, it's cow country. And this piece of property has they selected it based upon the geographic, the topographical diversity. I know that sounds kind of maybe oxymoronic in, you know, Florida because everything's flat. Well, this isn't that flat. It has a ton of beautiful natural vegetation. And the St. Lucie River, or the canal, I don't know technically which it is. I know it was done by the Army Corps of Engineers back in the early 1900s. It actually connects the Atlantic Ocean, Lake Okeechobee, and the Gulf of Mexico. So you could literally take a boat. Now, the advantage of that, besides the physical beauty of having the canal right there, is the fact that we can draw water from it. almost 4.5 million gallons a day, which anyone who operates a golf course knows that's really, you know, it's really the lifeblood of any golf course. So in addition to the natural beauty, we're creating almost 180 acres in lakes. One of the lakes alone will be 54 acres. And I was trying to explain it to a colleague how big 54 acres is. They said, imagine, you know, you go to Wingfoot the first hole and then take the second hole and then go sort of go sideways for another 4 or 5 holes. I said, that's about 54 acres. It's a big piece of property. And we actually joke about and half joke about landing a seaplane on it because folks from Miami may want to take a seaplane from Miami there. So, and by the way, on the second two courses, the first one, Gil Hance creation, and Gil's been out there vigorously on the dozer as he always is, you know, moving dirt. And it's such a treat to see. And then the second course, Mike Davis and Tommy Fazio golf course, and then the Kyle Phillips. Well, on the east property, which is where Kyle Phillips and Mike Davis's courses are going to be, I mean, there's going to be a lot of dirt moved. I mean, I can't tell you exactly how much, but it's millions of cubic yards that are being moved. So you really will have, I mean, the clubhouse itself, the second clubhouse on the east side will probably be perched up 30 or 40 feet high, as will the west course. So you will have some nice sort of topographical diversity on the property. So anyway, after Mr. Pascucci explained all this and explained the fact that Steve Ross of Related Corporation is going to be doing all the vertical buildings, I said, boy, this sounds like a project I can't pass up on. So next thing you know, as of January, I leave Wingfoot 12/31. And on 1/1, I begin with the Apogee Club.
So you've made this transition. You've made the transition to a degree from being a Northeastern guy to a Southern Florida guy. You're also going from a club that has a century of history and a very austere reputation to one that doesn't exist yet, and you get to shape it. So what is the transition like for you going from something that is completely different from from Wingfoot to Apogee, and that you also get a big say in many ways of how that's going to be shaped moving forward?
You know, Ryan, that's really a critically important question. And I'm not just saying that because this is a discussion we have regularly about sort of the core values. What are those values? How will we express those values? And what will the culture be, right? Because it's one thing to have a great golf course, another thing to have a wonderful clubhouse, but it's the members and the staff, right? Not just the members, but the members and the staff who comprise that club culture. And one of the things I said straight away to Mr. Pascucci was that if this is going to be sort of one of those discovery land or however you would describe them, where people are going to be playing in sixums, in sandals, on skateboards or whatever they do, I said, I really would prefer, after having spent 31 years at Wingfoot and really loving that environment, that I really preferred not to be involved. And he made it very clear that we're going to try as best as possible to thread that needle between being contemporary and still having tradition and good traditions. It's funny, the other day, Mike Davis and I were talking, and I'm sure you know Mike, the former CEO of the USGA. And it's funny, you know, Mike and I used to be on the other sides of the table when we were talking about the 06 Open, then the four ball, and then actually before that, in 04, the US Amateur. And then the 2020, we were always on, sort of, not that we ever negotiated directly or sort of against each other. It's always been a partnership. But now we're on the same side of the table. And it's really quite a lot of fun. So Mike the other day said to me, he said, you know, let's make sure we have a club blazer. And he said, you know, I know that's a little traditional, but, and I said to him, no but required. I said, I agree. We should have a club blazer as soon as we can figure out a logo. Because we want that, you know, we still want to instill a little bit of that traditional, wholesome sort of golf feeling to the Apogee Club. And so to be able to participate in that really is very special. To be able to get members from day one and to help, you know, with their help, develop a culture that accommodates members' needs, and yet does so in a very elegant, sort of understated way. So it really is a great experience. You know, I keep thinking about the fact that as I left Wingfoot, it was about to celebrate its centennial. And now here I am at the other end of the timeline at a club's very beginning. And I always wondered what it was like. I mean, I've wondered about this. I mentioned it actually in my farewell remarks at the dinner that Jim Nance hosted. You know, what was you know, Charles Nobles, who was the founder of the club, he and Mr. Wendehack, A.W. Tillinghast, you know, Mr. Charles Wendehack being the architect of the building. You know, what were their conversations like? What was it like when they were bringing this thing out of the ground with mules and dynamite and pickaxes? You know, this was in really hard labor. You think about it, you know, when I look across the Apogee property, I see all these machines, and we purchased all the heavy equipment so that we could just build at our leisure over the next several years. And I think about the fact that one of the holes at Wingfoot is named White Mule. And I don't have the scorecard in front of me, but I believe it's 13 East. And Ben Crenshaw and I talked about the origin of that name when Ben and I were having a conversation about something. And White Mule refers to a mule that was being used to help shape the land. And you think about it, so we've gone from mules and you know, throwing sticks of dynamite and shoving it in between rock formations and hand chipping to, you know, the technology today where a big dozer can be GPS'd and it can basically run itself. I mean, think about it. It really is pretty remarkable. And yet so many things have remained the same, right? So that part of it's changed. And yet those of us who love the game, the traditions, realize that while some things have changed, other things have not. So it's really an exciting time.
Is it a tricky needle to thread to try to have a membership that you're going to ultimately have that's going to come from different places, and they're going to have different needs? They're going to be people that play every day if they can. They're going to be people who swoop in once or twice a year, yep, maybe bring some buddies, maybe not, whatever it is. I mean, diverse, or how wide of a set of different types of consumers are there going to be as members?
Another really, really good question. This is another topic in addition to culture, and it sort of blends in together, is the geographic diversity. You know, we don't want another New York club. We don't want, frankly, a Sabonic South. Not that Sabonic is revered in the industry and it's a fabulous club. Mr. Pascucci and his team, and Ralph Pascucci, I mean, they've done such a great job. But we want Apogee to be different. We want geographic diversity. As a matter of fact, on Thursday, I'm flying out to Dallas to meet with the head pro, Neil Lockie, I believe his name is. And then we're going to go to Preston Trails because we're trying to get some of the head professionals across the country involved in a very informal ambassador program. It's not like one of these programs, there's no quid pro quo. It's sort of a gentleman's agreement to sort of help each other in the club industry. And so we're hoping to draw from Chicago, from Kansas, from Dallas, from Boston, because we believe that while that's a challenge, and you use the term, which I use all the time, it's a difficult needle to thread because you don't have this homogeneous group like Wingfoot did back in the 20s. They were all from Manhattan. They were all members of the New York AC, and they all went from whom to here. And they went from Manhattan to Westchester, and they're the same group of guys. And literally, in this case, we are going to be drawing from all over, you know, and including some of the southern markets. I mean, Atlanta could be DC. But we're hoping that through the admissions process that we identify people who share a couple of things, right? One of them is a genuine love of the game. We don't need somebody who's wealthy, who can write a check, who has no respect for the game. That, for us, that doesn't work. And we've already established that just because somebody can write a check, we're not waving them through the doors. So love and respect for the game. People who are just generally respectful to each other, because, you know, we want that kind of civility around the club. And we want members who are going to be respectful of the staff. Because that's critically important. And I've been around enough, and not all clubs treat staff the way they should be. At Wingfoot, we were notorious for how vigilant we were about caring for the staff. When I tell you vigilant, I mean, there are certain things members and guests could never do. And most of those things were related to their treatment of the staff. And the board, I have to say, always took the few times there were any sort of violations of what we understood to be or what we believed to be proper behavior, the board acted very quickly. And we plan to have that same type of attitude right from day one. And this sort of goes back to how you shape the membership, right? So day one, when we do sort of a new member orientation, you know, it's respect for the game, respect for each other, and respect for the staff. And you know, we're hoping that the geographic diversity, you know, maybe will lend a balance, because you have so much, you know, a lot of high energy people, you know, coming from New York. And I'd like to think that, you know, you blend in a couple of Midwesterners and maybe that'll balance things out.
Ultimately, you're gonna have three courses, right? And you're gonna have a huge facility, and you're gonna have a lot of space that these members can cover day to day. Do you have any idea of how they will spread themselves out from day to day? Will they pick a favorite course? Will they have a favorite practice facility? How do you expect that to work out?
You know, it's funny. One of the things, you know, apropos of that question, a new member, one of our founding members said, you know, he said, I'm looking at the map, and he's actually in the heavy equipment business. So he's been around a lot of construction sites. He said, you realize, he said, I did the math on it. It's 2 miles between the performance center and the clubhouse, the main clubhouse. Yeah. He goes, what am I going to do? How am I getting from A to B when suddenly my wife calls and she's ready for dinner and I've been hitting balls with the guys and I've got to get from this place to that place? And it's 2 miles.
Yeah.
It's a couple hundred yards. I mean, it's almost like when you're at the driving range of Pine Valley. I mean, you're way out yonder. So in terms of, you know, it's so funny. You're touching on all of these things. I feel like you've been reading my notes. you know, and that's the question. So which becomes a favorite? Well, we're hoping that, just like in the case of Wingfoot with the East and the West course, you know, the diehard players love the West course. They love the challenge. They love to bring guests there. The East course, day in and day out, the members love it, right? It's just, yeah, it's sportier. It's a little bit, easier probably is not the right way to put it, but it's just a little bit sportier. You know, we're hoping that people will find, and this is going to grow very organically. I mean, this isn't, it's almost like one of those overused terms, but it will be this thing that will just sort of figure itself out. But it's going to be a lot to manage, because if, you know, one group's over on one set of tees and another group is, again, 2 miles away, and they say, hey, Ryan, you know, we forgot to tell you, we're over on the Kyle Phillips golf course. And so the logistics of that will be a challenge. So, you know, I think what's going to happen is that there's the east side of the property has two golf courses, Performance Center. So that will be sort of, I'm guessing, will evolve into sort of the real golf haven. The West golf course, the Gilhants golf course, the big clubhouse where the villas are, and we didn't speak about those yet, but the villas are going to be spectacular. That's more for the family, the kids, because there's pool, there's pickle, padel. We're actually talking about setting up a small marina. Not that it's a clear delineation, but we just think naturally people with families will be sort of on the left side of the map, and the guys who just, you know, maybe some local friends coming in from Miami, yeah, I just want to practice, play nine holes, they'll be in that other segment of the map.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, we haven't even talked yet about all of the non-golf stuff that Apogee will have for its membership. How broad is this operation going to be in comparison to what Wingfoot is, which obviously has 36, yeah, plenty of members, and it also is pretty vast?
Well, just think about the fact that Wingfoot, 36 holes, absolutely iconic clubhouse, employee house, pool facility, maintenance facility, that's all on 280 acres. This is going to be spread out over 1,220 acres. We have the ability to build up to 40 villas. We could, in theory, have approximately 350 guest rooms. So you think about that alone. I mean, that's a small hotel. The villas are right now scheduled, a four-room villa is about 3,800 square feet. I mean, I can assure you that's significant larger than my house that I'm sitting in right now. And a lot of people have mentioned it to have said, wow, that's bigger than my house. So these are going to be not over the top garish, but they're going to be spacious. They're going to be well appointed. They're going to be designed for golfers. So the door openings will be big enough to bring your clubs in, and there'll be, you know, all those things that make, you know, a golfer's activity just ease a little bit easier, almost like they did it at Stream Song. You know, you go to the hotel at Stream Song, the elevator's wide, the doors are open. Yep. You can, if you want to schlep your clubs in and out, you can do it. You don't feel like you're in a Ritz-Carlton and you're banging up the walls and you're worried about it. So, there'll be two clubhouses. So the East and the West, the East clubhouse, I'd say is the primary clubhouse. I'm sorry. The West is the primary clubhouse. Where there'll be a lot of member activity. I mean, I wish I had renderings to show you. I'll send them to you along with some other things. And I think I owe you some things as well. It's very much like El Dorado and Palm Springs. It's limestone. It's geometric. We use the term mid-century modern. I'm not sure if an architectural firm would agree with that term, but it's something like that. It's geometric. There's tall ceilings, there's lots of beautiful wooden shutters, lots of glass. And, Mr. Ross, who is, I mean, arguably one of the greatest builders, you know, in the country, if not the world right now, has assured our team that they are going to be 6-star. He said, forget 5-star. So I want them to be 6-star. We came back from a vacation in Hawaii, and I can't tell you what the room rate was, but I can assure you it was much more than the average person could afford. And apparently beautifully appointed, and he came back and said, ours are going to be nicer. So you think about that. So his, you know, and that's the thing, right? So what is the name? I'll just segue for a minute. What is the name Apogee? What does it represent? Well, Mr. Pascucci used to be, at one point, in addition to his car leasing business, he established the Catholic station out in Long Island, Channel 55. And he was then got into the television business, and he was shooting satellites. And so when the satellite reaches its peak, it's the apogee, right? So he felt that this was the apogee of his career and Steve Ross's career, one gentleman being 86, one gentleman being 82, that this was sort of the pinnacle, the apex, the apogee of their careers. So they both have, while they're older and they have nothing to prove, in their minds, they have a lot to prove, and they want this facility. And you have to hear, especially Mr. Pascucci, describe it. I mean, he'll take you right through the entranceway and the drive and over the bridge and the lakes. And it's going to be a golfer's paradise.
Well, for people who maybe have their curiosity piqued, mm-hmm. and they think they might be a good fit, what is the process like for them? Where can they go to find out more information? Who do they contact, or do they get contacted?
Well, you know, it's a combination. You know, look, we love the fact that our founding members will be referring members, and that's great. And we love the fact that maybe someone like yourself or myself would know somebody who we think really fits the bill, and we would refer them. But we also want people who don't necessarily know somebody at the club and are still an ideal fit. So some great guy, you know, some guy from Chicago, or by the way, I say guy just out of habit, a man or a woman who has the right golf IQ, who has the financial ability, and not having someone refer them does not necessarily exclude them. It makes the process a little bit more complicated. Right now, what we're doing is we're working with I mentioned this earlier, with some, a few PGA professionals. Some of them retired, who are going to help do some outreach to some of the prominent clubs in the country. And, you know, here's one of the unique things, unlike a lot of real estate developments and such, we have no debt. This is being funded by the two owners. So, you know, we get to 200 members, tap the brakes, see how people are using the facility, see how they're enjoying it. How is the staging going in terms of the building? Because look, Ryan, at any minute, you know, something can happen. A storm blows through and we're 3 months behind. So we're sort of pacing it. So we'll be doing outreach through prominent clubs around the country. And if somebody had an interest, for example, if they're up in Boston and they happen to know, you know, somebody at the country club who has a connection to the Apogee Club, they should definitely talk to their head professional or their general manager, but more than likely their head professional.
Well, I can't wait to keep tabs on what's happening at Apogee Club.
Well, we want you to come visit.
Get me on a plane. I will hop on a plane today.
Okay.
I can't wait to come down and see everything. And I can't wait to keep up with the progress of things. Because I really like your energy and excitement about this. So I'm living vicariously through you about the development of this.
Well, I'm going to make you a promise. You're going to come down in the fall. I wouldn't, you know, I'd show it to you. I'd have you come down now. But it's right now, all you see is this massive piece of property and trucks and the reverse beepers going. And you see some smoke in the distance. But by the time we get to October of this year, so whatever that is, 8 months, 9 months, you'll see one completed golf course. So we would love to have you down then.
Well, then consider it done. And we will continue to tell the story of Apogee as it continues to grow. And hopefully we can do it together again soon.
Thank you. Appreciate the time today.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.